quick one before we start. You know what's a fun surprise? Getting to your child's school meeting completely unprepared because nobody tells you what to ask. I've got guides for that. School advocacy, NDIS, meltdowns, diagnosis, medications, all there, www.adhdmums.com.au/resources. Paid ones, free ones, all there for ADHD mums. Okay, let's get on with it. Hello and welcome to ADHD Mums. Have you ever thought, is it just me? Because this is where we say the quiet things out loud. No fixing, no fluff, just the stuff that you wish that someone had explained sooner. I'm Jane and let's get into it. The other day, I did the school pickup with my hubby in his car. It was pretty quiet. The music was on low and one of them said something about their day. And then the other one waited for them to finish and then said something back. And then there was a pause where no one was speaking. It was so weird. I turned around in the passenger seat and I looked at the three kids who were all sitting across the back seat, not even physically fighting. Then I looked at my hubby and I said, "Is this how pickup goes?" And he just shrugged. "Yeah, pretty much." I just sat there. Because at my pickup, the second those kids get in the car, it's on. The youngest one is now in the front seat, which means it's a three-person rotation and someone's always angry and pissed off. The second that one child starts any kind of story, the other one interrupts. And then it's, "You interrupted me. You interrupted me." And then everyone's yelling about the interruption instead of the story. And they just argue over who's talking the entire drive. When I pick them up, I really want to hear about their day. I really want to see them. But sometimes I end up turning the music up louder and louder because I'm trying to drown them out. And I'm ready to throw myself onto the driveway whilst the car is moving. And I think to myself, I can't believe I was looking forward to seeing them. I am that person. So when I was sitting in my hubby's car watching this quiet, normal family on a Wednesday version of school pickup, I'm thinking, does this car have some kind of sound dampener? Or is there some kind of Valium injection that goes into the back seat? Why are they so calm? Or is it me? What's wrong with my car? What's wrong with me? Why are they like that with me? Or what is going on with my hubby? How does he do it? Is it his car? Does he just lay down the boundary and they just respect it? It's one at a time? You know, I have a question for you. Can you cook rice? Because let's side quest for a moment. I am shocking at cooking rice on a pot. Let's have a look at this for a moment. The way that a neurotypical brain cooks rice on a pot is that they watch it. They turn the heat on, the water's cold. There's a few bubbles, a few more bubbles. They check it's going properly. They see it every stage. They can turn the heat up or down. They know around about where the water is at and they know the right time to put the lid on and off. However, for an ADHD brain cooking rice on a pot, they often walk off and do some other things and may or may not put the timer on. Most of the time, the ADHD mum isn't watching the pot. We don't feel capable of staying in the same room as the pot because we either get sidetracked or it's too boring or we're too impatient or we just, hands down, don't have the wiring to do it. So often when we come back, the lid's blown off. The kitchen's full of steam. The water's all over the stove. Thank God I have one of those things where the water comes over and then the whole thing turns off. That saved our house from burning down quite a few times, I'm sure. And then I look at it and think, where the fuck did that come from? Or I call out, "Who's cooking rice?" And it's me. I'm the cooker of the rice. Have you ever laid in bed at 9 o'clock or on the couch and been overcome with guilt or shame that you don't necessarily parent as calmly as what you would like, that you end up yelling? that you end up losing your shit? Do you ever reflect and judge yourself and feel guilt and shame? But often for a lot of us, when we look at it, we realize that if we end up yelling or saying something to our kids that we feel shame or guilt about later, we feel like it's come out of nowhere. Like we've walked back into the kitchen and the lid's blown off and the water's everywhere and you're like, where did that come from? As if it's just boiled over. However, for a lot of us, we don't realize that we're missing the bubbles coming up to the surface with all of the signs that that's the way it was going. If you think about the times in your life that you've yelled or said something you would regret, or the times or the pattern of what happens before, maybe it's on a Saturday after school sport that you know that you've got no capacity left, and by dinner, you're just losing your shit. There would be some kind of pattern for you as to when this would show up. Let's just use pickup as an example. Driving up, finding a car park might be the cold water going into the pot. You might see a mum at pickup that you really want to avoid, and she asks you an awkward survey question about the uniform and you're like, oh my God, I don't know. Or you get asked to help at breakfast club when you work and you don't know anybody who can do that. That might be the stove turning on. You might notice that your breath starts to get short. Your child might start asking you 6 times whether they can go to someone's house or to the park for a play date. You haven't had lunch and you're just wishing that you could go home and they would just get in the car quickly and we could all leave. Maybe that's the first few bubbles of the pot on the stove as your hands grip the steering wheel and you start turning up the music. For a lot of us, if we asked, how are you feeling in that moment? They might say, yeah, I'm okay. I'm just feeling a bit tired. I just want to go home. For a lot of us in those moments, we may not even realize that we're actually escalating because we don't even feel the escalation. We don't know we're escalating. Maybe you're sitting in the car and the kids start talking over the top of each other, squabbling. Maybe one's touching the other. The pot is starting to boil. You might think to yourself, I'm a bit irritable. Maybe I didn't have enough to eat. The thought might cross your mind, I don't have the patience for this shit tonight. Maybe one of the kids comments, you forgot my library bag again. Or it's athletics carnival this week. I really want you to watch the whole day. Maybe that's the lid starting to blow off the pot on the stove. Maybe you get home. You know the kids are hungry. You're trying to settle them down. You offer some snacks and they all say, I don't want to eat that. That's not what I want. Or maybe they race to the front door and they all want to go in at the same time and they have a physical punch on. And for a lot of us, you might find that by then, you don't know how it happens, but you start yelling or you fly off the handle. You start to get very short and you might find that you have a thought spiral of negativity. I don't know why I even wanted to pick them up. I can't believe I look forward to seeing them. Why does this happen in my car? What's wrong with me? Why can't they just walk in normally? Oh my God, shit's all over the driveway. Why can't they get their own stuff from the car? You might start to spiral and you're thinking, it's been like 5 minutes, 10 minutes. What's going on? Why do I feel like this? Other mums don't feel like this. I'm an awful person. So what's happening underneath that? There is a thing in your brain called interoception. It's the brain's ability to read signals from inside your body, basically. Heart rate, breath, muscle tension, temperature, and your body is sending signals constantly. And a neurotypical brain, for an example, might read them like a radio that's always on in the background. That's basically the neurotypical brain watching the pot of rice as it cooks. It doesn't burn. They're there. They're watching it. The rice comes off. Beautiful. They're monitoring it. The signals come in. The brain is reading them. And that neurotypical mum, for example, knows she's at a simmer. She knows she's at about 10 minutes. She knows that she should rinse it now and it's probably cooked. However, all that monitoring, the radio that she has on in the background, a lot of ADHD mums, we have a really shitty radio. We might have a radio that cuts out, it's intermittent. There was a big systematic review last year. I'll pop it into the show notes. The research looked at interoception awareness in ADHD adults. Basically, ADHD adults underestimate our own heart rate. We are less accurate at detecting our body signals. The research shows the signals do come through, but for some reason, the ADHD brain doesn't read them in real time like a neurotypical brain. And what does that come back to? Bandwidth. Even when the signal does come through, it might be like a flicker when you might notice in the car that you're getting a bit irritable. But naming an emotion that you're feeling is actually an executive task. It requires working memory, attention shifting. And ADHD reduces all three, particularly when your medication has worn off. If you take medication, pick up might be a time where your medication is wearing off. So when the signal arrives at the brain, often the brain doesn't have the bandwidth to read it. But the thought, I'm a bit irritable, might land, but then it will dissolve. There might be a child starting to talk about their day while another one interrupts, and your brain is at capacity. So the thought dissolves. And this is where a lot of us walk away from the pot of rice as it's cooking. So that thought on that you're a little bit irritated might dissolve very, very quickly because you have 40 things going on at the one time. There is also another element at play, which I don't think is talked about enough. And that is alexithymia, which is a technical word for not having words for feelings. It is a clinical inability to name what you're feeling in the moment. In neurotypical adults, around 10 to 13% of the population meet the criteria for alexithymia. However, in ADHD adults, 42 to 51% meet the criteria for alexithymia, which, if you didn't remember what it was, is basically the clinical inability to name what you're feeling in the moment. I'll put the research into the show notes. So half of us, more or less, don't have a vocabulary installed for emotions that we're feeling. That's actually a massive thing that a lot of people don't realize. So there might be multiple things happening as you're feeling this anger or agitation or frustration before you yell build up. Your body might be sending signals out onto the radio that we talked about before. Perhaps the signal doesn't work all the time. It's intermittent. Or maybe your brain doesn't have the bandwidth in the moment to read that signal if it does come through. Or if after all of that, the signal does come through, you might not have the vocabulary for what that signal meant. You might be like, I don't know what that was, so I just ignored it. And for a lot of us, we might feel like that yelling came out of nowhere, that frustration, that rage, where did it come from? I'm like a hair trigger away from losing my shit. So some of us feel like it's out of the blue. But in reality, there might be all of those signals missing, or you might not have the vocabulary for what those signals mean. So if we go back to my hubby's car, the quiet one, the one where the kids just sit there at pickup and it's all very civilized. In these moments, it's really easy for us to feel like, why are they like that for me at pickup? What's the difference? It must be me. It's something I'm doing. I found sitting in that car really interesting. And did I research after it and nerd out on why? Of course I did. He had the same kids in the car, the same car park. I picked them up on that day of the week all the time with a completely different experience. So what is the difference? The difference I found when I stripped it all the way back was that his brain was basically watching the pot. He was standing there watching the pot cook the rice to make sure it was okay. I hate admitting, but he is an excellent rice cooker. He can't understand how I always fuck it up. If I have one cup of rice left and everybody needs it and it's super critical, I still can't stand there and watch it. He can. He can stand there in the vicinity around the kitchen and watch the rice. Yes, he probably doesn't multitask as much as I can, but even if I didn't have anything to multitask, I still think I'd struggle to stand there. When I do pick up, I'm probably not watching the rice like he does. Yes, I get held up more by teachers. Yes, there's more things going on. Yes, all of that is at play. There are factors. Of course, we can't get into every factor in just one episode. But if I'm honest, sometimes or all of the time, most of the time, when I do pick up, my water is already on a rolling boil because I do jam pack more into my day before I arrive. I'd be on a rolling boil before my kids get in the car. However, I would say that he would probably get into his car and the heat wouldn't even be on the pot yet. So when I get the kids into the car and I'm already at a rolling boil, but I don't realize because I think I'm looking forward to seeing them, I think that I'm calm. If I'm honest, I'm probably not. If you look at just the experience of pickup, you could make the assumption that he's better with the kids. He doesn't lose it. Maybe he has better boundaries, or maybe they're more free to be themselves with me. Whatever it is, there's so many things that could be going on. He has ADHD, but yet when we're in the house, he can watch the pot cook the rice. He often has a stronger working radio than me. He often notices things that I don't. He definitely is more aware of his own body than I am. And so that's why in the same pickup, we can have a different experience. And there's so many reasons why. I'm just pinpointing this particular to illustrate this for this episode. So sometimes at the end of this, when I walk inside, I blame my character that I'm not meeting the expectations that I thought I'd have as a mum. Maybe I'm too short-tempered. Maybe I'm too angry or volatile. How does it just come out of nowhere? Why do I go from what I think is calm when I leave the house to being in full rage when I drive back in, thinking about throwing myself onto the driveway? And I think it's come out of nowhere. But if we stripped it back, I would say my hubby gets into the car with the water not even on heat and to notice when the rice needs to go in and when the rice needs to come off. A lot of the time, I don't feel like I notice. My radio is intermittent. I can't always hear it. I'm very distracted. And also, when I do have that feeling in my body, sometimes I struggle to name what it is. A thought might come up, oh, I'm getting a bit irritated. Maybe I haven't had lunch. And it just goes. I don't listen to the signals and do anything with it. So for some of us, we might think the mum rage, we might call it, comes out of nowhere. I would question whether it does come out of nowhere or whether you have differences within your interoception, or you might have alexithymia. You might go to the doctor with this. They might call it anxiety, stress, normal mum life, perimenopause. They might say, have you tried meditation? You might be someone that comes back to yourself. Why can't I be calm? Why can't I just be nicer mum? But it might be a perception gap. Your body is telling you, but maybe you're not reading it. You're not hearing it. You're not noticing all of the signs of the water boiling over the sides of the pot. And then you're blaming yourself for why you can't cook the rice when you don't notice all of the steps that are taking place for the rice to be cooked in the pot. You might find that maybe your neurotype, you don't have the wiring to watch the pot. You don't hear the radio, or you don't feel the signals that tells you that your body is feeling an emotion. Or if you get the signals, you might not know what that emotion is. And sometimes when we have been blaming ourselves and calling it mum rage, for example, or sometimes we might get a referral to a psychologist or therapy, or you might get prescribed SSRIs, antidepressants, or an anti-anxiety. You might be told most mums are on this, or that's mum life. But who benefits from that experience? My opinion is that a lot of the time, if you have a partner, they could benefit. Because then the problem becomes our temper, our temperament, the guilt and shame that we have for not doing better. The conversation stays about our behavior. It doesn't go anywhere near the load distribution in the house, the fact that we're multitasking on such a wide level that there's no way we can stand and watch the rice. It doesn't go anywhere near why my pot is at a rolling boil by pickup and his isn't. If our nervous system is the problem and we're the problem here, the wellness industry benefits because some of us might buy magnesium to help us sleep or to calm us down, or lavender oil. You might buy a breathwork app or with a journal with prompts in it. You might believe that this time it's going to work, but then feel really let down when it doesn't. But we keep buying the advertising because we think the next one might work. There must be a solution. And here's the part that no one wants to hear. We benefit too. Because if we have random mum rage that we don't know what to do with, That is a story that we all kind of know how to live inside. I see the reels. I see the dirty dish in the sink and hashtag mum rage. Some of them are funny, don't get me wrong, but it's a story we're familiar with. And for us, our brain wants to find a story we're familiar with to make it make sense. So if you have a perception gap where you're not hearing the signals or you're not noticing them or you get the signal, you don't know what it is, you might have been blaming yourself for that for a long time and saying that you don't know why you fly off the handle. So that way of thinking is like it's a character flaw. However, I believe it's more of a structural flaw. And we can't fix that with a journal or an app, the structural flaw of why. Why do I get in the car on a rolling boil? So if we go to dinner time, for example, let's say it's a pot of rice cooking. It's 6 o'clock. There's a kid in the shower, a kid asking you a question. I can't really hear because the bathroom fan is going, the dog is barking, the water is boiling, and then the TV is blaring on top of the radio and the iPads. And if you said to me, how are you? What you up to? I'd say, oh, I'm just doing dinner. But if we strip down what's happening is my pot is probably at a stage 3 before I even started the bedtime routine. We might not be reading that we're actually not okay. And when someone asks me, how are you going? I would honestly say, yeah, good, thanks. Because I'm not reading how I'm feeling. I'm just doing dinner, no worries. But then as that goes on for a period of time, when I'm putting all the food out onto the table, for example, and someone says, oh, where's the cheese? Or, oh, I didn't want that. Or is there a cup? Or whatever the question is. If I snap about the cheese, I then wonder and feel guilty and shame about snapping because someone asked me about the cheese. But is it the cheese that did it? Or is it the fan, the pasta, the TV, the dog barking, the questions over and over again? Is it the bubbling on the pot that I didn't notice? And maybe asking about the cheese was the lid just blowing off. Most ADHD mums spend our lives in sensory overload. The build of this rage and anger, or whatever it is that you want to call it, is often a really sensory experience. It's not actually about the cheese. But believing it's about the cheese is what a lot of mums know best. We call it the final straw. But for a lot of us, when they ask about the cheese, the moments before, we didn't even know the lid was going to blow off. We didn't even know in that moment we could, should have gone outside and taken a breath. We might find that our baseline is actually a really warm pot or even a rolling boil. If your resting state is a rolling boil, you might not even feel it as it builds. You might not start the day with cold water in your pot with enough time to build up and to take those measures in place where you go out, you take a breath, you feel the feeling and realize it's rising and make a change. So it isn't the question that makes us snap. It might be the moment that that question lands. Your body might have been on a rolling boil for 20 minutes and the rice is burning the lids off. But it's so difficult in those moments if you don't even realize that that was going on. If you think the rage came out of nowhere and it's just a normal Wednesday, yeah, I'm good, thanks, I'm just cooking dinner. You might think you are a mum with a tiny fuse. However, that might not be the case. You might find that you don't have the wiring to watch the pot, know it's boiling, and put the steps in place at the right time. You might think it's a matter of trying harder, learning more, breathing more, calming down. Be more like other mums at pickup who never seem to lose it. But we can't manage what we can't see and what we don't realize. And if you can't see it or feel it or realize it's happening, then how can you possibly be aware of this to actually make a change or improve? As we finish up, there is going to be episode 2 that we are going to delve more into what we can actually do about it. But before we finish up, think about a situation where this happens for you. Let's just use pickup as an example. If you feel like your shoulders are coming up and you are somebody that might be on a rolling boil when you do pickup and not realize, try to consciously drop your shoulders, unclench your jaw, take a breath, Maybe the breath is just about checking in with the pot. Is the water cold or warm? Is it on a rolling boil? Has the rice burnt already? All we are doing is just using the breath to look and feel and notice. That is the first step to change, is being aware and know on where you're at. Take your breath and be aware with nothing else. In the next episode, we are going to take all of the steps and look at not just the why, but how. How can we change? How can we improve? And we will also look at why the advice around this doesn't work. Thank you so much for listening. If this is you, please share it with a friend. Thank you for listening and thank you so much. If this felt a little bit too familiar, then please share this episode with a friend or send in a listener question. I'd love to hear from you. See you next week.